The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Good morning. Great to see everybody today, and as always, we want to welcome our guests who are with us. We're very grateful that you're here, and we hope and pray that you really do have an opportunity today to praise the Lord, to worship Him together. We just thank God that you've come our way today. This morning, we're starting out talking a little bit about doors. See if you can name these doors. A little quiet there, but I think I may have heard it. Yeah, that's the Prime Minister's door, 10 Downing Street, 10 Downing Street in London. How about this one? Just the address. Sherlock Holmes, 221B Baker Street. Very good. See, isn't it amazing what you can tell from a door? How about this? This is a gate. You can guess the city, I'm sure. It's Jerusalem. It's Damascus Gate at Jerusalem. And I don't know who these people are, but they're at one of the doors to the White House, actually. One of the doors to the White House. Okay, another gate. I think that's the Brandenburg Gate, isn't it, in Berlin? I hear it over here. And how about these doors? Empire State Building, very good, yeah. I can see Tim in the reflection with the camera, actually. Yeah, I see the guy there. Empire State Building. How about these doors? They're gates. These are called the Gates of Hell, actually, and they're sculpted by Rodin, the sculptor, and they portray images out of Dante's Inferno, if you're familiar with that work. Now, here's humanities class right here. You see this little guy right here? You see the little thinker guy right here at the top of the door? You've probably seen the big thinker statue. The thinker actually comes from this sculpture, which is thinking and contemplating the horror of people who rebel against God and find themselves in torment. Those are the gates there. Some of you may have seen them in the Rodin Museum. And how about this? Jim and Gotti better get this one. That's all I'm going to say. Because you've been to Florence, right? Okay, these are the gates of paradise. Since we have the gates of hell, we should have the gates of paradise. And these are the gates of paradise sculpted, well, back in the 15th century or so, maybe late 14th century. And they're at the baptistry of John the Baptist, I think, in Florence. Where does this door lead? That's the door to Narnia. That's the wardrobe. If you haven't read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, shame on you. Read that this afternoon. Come back with your book report tonight. And, of course, everybody knows that door. Got to go to Bag End. Yeah, very good. Well, doors, isn't it amazing what you can tell from a door? You know where the door is, and you know what's inside, and you know if you go in that door, you're going to get what's inside that door. You have all those expectations of what it is. And today we come to Jesus' declaration, Jesus in his own words, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What a great promise and claim of Jesus. And this, as you know, is not just an ordinary door. There's something about this door that makes it different than one on hinges, perhaps, because Jesus, in John chapter 10, brings together two beautiful images, that of the door and the good shepherd, and tying them together claims to be both the door to the sheep as well as the good shepherd himself. Now listen to what he says in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. This is from the ESV. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, Jesus is just beginning here to talk about being the shepherd, the true shepherd, the good shepherd. And Lord willing, in a week or so, we'll be looking at that statement of Jesus as well. But as he tries to enter into this, they don't understand. And he continues then in verse 7, and he kind of goes in a slightly different direction. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." It's interesting, and it's not uncommon for the way Jesus blends together figures of speech and metaphors in John chapter 10, because as you heard at first in John chapter 10, the beginning of it, the door is the way that the shepherd enters, and the true shepherd can go through the door because it shows his legitimacy, and the door is that which the sheep pass through. But then Jesus, who is that shepherd, who is the true shepherd of Israel, then begins to make a statement about himself being the door to the sheep as well. Both of these images are found in John chapter 10. And the image of this door is the door to a sheep pen or a sheepfold. And it's interesting how in John chapter 10, Jesus actually has two different kinds of sheepfolds in mind. He mentions them. You know, back then there were, you know, sheep. I always feel sorry for sheep, because every time they get talked about in a sermon, we talk about how dumb they are and how they don't know anything. And fortunately for them, they are, so they're not offended by this sort of talk. But sheep don't know their way around. And, you know, they just kind of wander off, they're just eating their way around. Then they look up. They don't know if they're lost or found. They don't know. They have no sense of if they're lost or found. If they had to find their way back somewhere, you know, it's not like your dog. They can't find their way back. They don't know those sorts of things. We'll find out later. They do hear their shepherd's voice, but there's some things that they can do. But because of that, and their inability to defend themselves against prey, there's always an occasion for sheep to be brought into a fold where they're enclosed, where there's some security. Now, in the Jesus's day, there were in towns or villages, there would be a large sheep pen, and this pen would be shared by any number of flocks and shepherds. And in the evenings, they would bring all the sheep in, and they'd all go into one pen, and there would be a gatekeeper at the door of that. And the gatekeeper would know the shepherds and would allow the shepherds to come. The shepherd, as we just read a moment ago, comes up to the door, calls the sheep out by name. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd, and they follow that shepherd out wherever he leads them. And that's one of the images, but there's another image that we read here in John chapter 10, and that's of the sheep pen that's out in the open country, where just one flock would be, where the shepherd would be out with his particular flock. And when the time came to bring them into an enclosure, they would have maybe some rocks stacked on top of each other, something sort of like this, and an opening, and maybe some brambles and briars on top to keep predators from coming over the edge. But what would happen when the sheep would come in at night is the shepherd himself would lay across the doorway, would sit in the doorway. The shepherd would be the door. He would be the door to the sheep. He would bring them in, and he would protect them there. And that seems to capture the image here of Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 9, when he says, "I am the door. Anyone who enters by me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That's the image that we find. Now, we've heard this so many times, it probably doesn't really hit us as anything terribly profound, but I'd like for us to imagine ourselves back in the day of Jesus. And imagine, here's this guy teaching in the city of Jerusalem. He's 32, 33 years old. Everybody knows he's from Galilee. You know, nothing much good comes out of Galilee. It's not a very prominent place. He's been a carpenter most of his life. The last couple of years or so, he's been wandering around, sort of an itinerant rabbi, has a following that, like a lot of the rabbis did at that time. And this man stands in front of his contemporaries in the city of Jerusalem, probably somewhere near the temple, and says to them, "Yes, there is salvation. There's salvation for all people. And if you want that salvation, you enter into it through me. I'm the door to salvation. I am the entry point to everything you need in life. I myself am the door. And if you enter through me, you will be saved. And you'll go in and out and find pasture. You'll have everything that you need for life." Now, that's just an absolutely astounding thing for a human being to say. Can you imagine? Has there ever been a person in all of history who would make such a claim, who would dare to make such a claim that there is salvation and I'm the entry point? If you want salvation, you enter into it through me. I'm the opening. I'm the place you come through. It's through me that you can find salvation. This is an absolutely staggering thing for a human being to say. It truly is. And Jesus is making the claim in the expression of this door, that as a door is a symbol of access, that he is the access to salvation. You enter that door. In August of 1971, I'd just coming home from a trip with a friend of mine. We had been gone about seven or eight weeks. Took off in a pickup truck with a little camper shell. And we went through 39 states and 14,000 miles in that time frame. We ran out of money in Ada, Oklahoma, and headed for home. We did the whole trip, gasoline, food, lodging, everything, all those miles, all those states, $500 a piece, which was a small fortune when you were a junior in college. But that, you know, that was, we lived pretty frugally on that trip. And we got home, and we got home a day early, and I was just so excited. He dropped me off. He said, you know what? It was a Friday night, just about sundown. He said, I'll come back tomorrow. We'll unload the truck. You know, let's just get home. I said, that sounds great. So he drops me. I just get out of the truck. He takes off. I walk up to the door. I'm standing there looking at my house, my mom and dad's house, of course. But it's like mom and dad are inside. I even miss my mom and dad, you know, even at that age, when you've been gone that long from home, it's like, I miss my mom and dad. I haven't seen my mom and dad. You know, back then, you know, I mean, we sent postcards on this trip. You know, I didn't talk to them any. I couldn't wait to see them and just to go in the door. Because, see, I lived in that house all my life. My mom still lives in that house. So that house kind of has a special place in our family. When you go through that door, you're stepping into the memories of your entire life. And I happen to be blessed to be in an amazing family, great parents who I just love. So memories inside that house were just memories of warmth and compassion and love and relationship and happiness. And I stood outside just thinking, I'm going to knock on that door. My mom's going to open that door, and she's going to be shocked because I'm a day early, and she is going to be so excited, and I'm going to go in, and I am going to experience all of that I've missed. And I knocked on the door. I stood there with a smile on my face, just waiting to hear some noise from the inside. And then I knocked on it again. And I waited a little bit longer. And my parents weren't home. My parents were gone. I thought, my parents never go out on a Friday night. Where in the world are they? And there was the door, and I couldn't get in. I'm standing outside, and I just... But I didn't have any keys. I'd been gone for 2 months. I didn't carry a key with me. So there I am just standing out there on the porch wanting so much to get inside. I may be a little naive, but I think most people really want the same things. I think most people really want what I wanted that was inside that door for me. We want our lives to mean something. We want our lives to have some sort of significance. We want at the end of life to look back and say, you know what, life made sense. Life fit together. I understood what life was all about. I lived it to the best of my ability. I lived it to the full, and I was so blessed. People are looking for love and for relationships, for acceptance. People are just looking for happiness, and not just the fleeting kind of happiness, but that deeper joy. Isn't everybody looking for that? To really have a sense of joy in your life and hope for the future, to know that, yes, there's something ahead. There's something to look forward to. People want these things. I think nearly every person is longing for that, longing for some kind of purpose and significance. And a lot of people, as we reflect on our lives, we see where we've fallen short. We see where we've lost our way. We have a sense of sin and wrong, and maybe we're feeling guilt, and we're looking for a way for that to be somehow dealt with, for our mistakes and our past and our sin to be taken out of the way. That's what the Bible calls salvation. That's salvation. Salvation isn't just one of these days I'm going to die and go to heaven. Now that's, I mean, come on, that's just the most awesome thing in the world. But salvation is stepping into life today. Stepping into life, stepping through the door, Jesus Christ, into a world where you have everything that you've ever wanted provided for you. Everything in that, in terms of what is good and what is right, what is pure, what is from God. Jesus is the access to that. Jesus is the door to that. That's where Christ wants to take us. The very next verse, we didn't read verse 10, but Tim read it a few moments ago. Verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's salvation. It starts now. It starts in Christ in this life, in this world. And it comes to us with joy and wholeness and a sense of well-being and forgiveness and a fresh start and loving relationships and peace and hope and everything you could really want for in life. That's what we find in Christ Jesus. The significance and meaning, the deep, loving relationships that we need to get through this world. So much more than the mundane things that this world offers. True life now, and eternal life that begins now and continues till time is no more in the presence of God. It's natural for people to have these longings. Don't you know? God created us to long for this, because to long for this ultimately can be fulfilled as we find Him. Because He is the one who can fulfill it. The problem in our world is that people are knocking on the wrong doors. And there's so many doors. I mean, there's so many ways to go. And people are hungry, and people are looking, and people are having a desire, but they go to the wrong door. And sometimes it's not necessarily an evil door or a bad door. It just isn't going to give them what they're really looking for when it opens up. I mean, it may be the achievement. I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to achieve. I'm going to advance in my career. I'm going to get to this point. And those are maybe a good goal in life to improve yourself in terms of your employment or whatever. But it's not the door to salvation, is it? It's not the door to ultimate fulfillment. You know, the American dream, you know, getting the husband or the wife and the 2.4 kids and living in the right part of town and having the perfect house and getting just the right cars and getting a good job. It's like, oh, you know, we all know, don't we? We really know that that doesn't give you the very deep things that we're looking for. It doesn't provide it. Those doors that we're knocking on, and sometimes it's our own intellectualism and our ability to think and how smart we are. It's science that has all the answers, or whatever door it happens to be. And sometimes we get a little twisted in this world because Satan's influence and our own desires, and we knock on doors like pleasure, and we go down a pathway of immorality, thinking that somehow that's going to open up the kind of at least some kind of happiness or something that's going to make us feel better about life. And we gawk on these doors and we go through these doors and we come out on the other side and we don't find life. Not salvation, it's not there. They can't provide those things. In John Bunyan's classic work, The Pilgrim's Progress, the story begins with Christian. Christian lives in the city of destruction. It's quite an allegory. If you've never read it, I'd recommend Pilgrim's Progress to you. But he lives in the city of destruction, and he realizes that his ultimate end is going to be destruction because of his sin. And so he flees the city of destruction, and he carries on his back this heavy burden, this heavy pack. And it's a representation of all of his sin and how far he has fallen from what God has wanted him to be. And he just starts out on the pathway, looking for the celestial city. And there he meets Evangelist on the road. And he talks to Evangelist about his problem and about his burden and about his need to flee from destruction and his desire for life. And Evangelist says to him, "Do you see that gate? Do you see that gate down the road? You head for that gate. You head for that gate. And you don't turn to the left or the right, and you don't follow anybody off the... You head for that gate. And you go through that gate. And you will find what you're looking for." Because that gate was Christ, and that gate was opening up to a pathway that would lead him to the cross. The entry into life, into all of the blessings that he was longing for. And if you're looking for meaning, for purpose, for significance, if you're looking for deeper relationships, if you're looking for some kind of true, deep joy in your life that isn't jarred or lost every time circumstances in this world change, stop knocking on all those other doors because they can't provide it, and head for the gate. Head for that one door. Jesus is the gate of the sheep. Jesus is the door of the sheep. And he's the one who can provide the very things you are looking for. He himself is the door. He's the access point because he's the only access to the fellowship with the Father. And that's where life and salvation are found. He opens the way to life and salvation through his own sacrifice. We remembered that a few moments ago around the table in the words that our brother shared with us and then in our own contemplation. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, the writer tells us that Jesus opens up the way into the presence of God through his very flesh, through his sacrifice, through the offering up of his body and blood. He opens the way to life and salvation, to meaning, to significance, to freedom from sin and guilt. He is the door. And in him we find forgiveness through his blood. We enter that door through faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ, that trust in that atoning death, that trust in the death on the cross, the body and the blood given up for us, that responds by being washed and cleansed by that blood, even while in faith we are baptized into Christ. But it's by faith in Jesus, in his saving word, that we enter that gate. And when you enter that door, when you pass through that door, when you truly, truly, by faith, enter that door, you know who you are. You know what your life is meant to be. You know what's important and what's not. You know what's good and what's not. You know how to live. Your life means something. You have purpose and meaning because Jesus is the one who completely changes the way you look at life. And gives you a new way to live. Makes you a new creature. And begins to share with you the very blessings of life that he promises to give to us. Significance and meaning and peace and freedom from sin and guilt. Jesus is telling the truth when he says, I'm the door. He who enters by me will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. And those words, will go in and out and find pasture. Help us to realize that the door is not just a symbol of access, but it's a symbol of security. A symbol of security. How many of you lock your doors at night at your house? It's probably a pretty good practice. Lock your doors. How many of you lock your doors in the parking lot? That's a very good practice. Just want to tell you, don't mean to scare anybody. It's a good thing to lock your doors in the church parking lot. You may even have an alarm system on your car at your house. Why do we do that? Well, we just don't like people coming into our house and taking our stuff, do we? We don't like to be robbed. We have doors and we have locks and we have security. And it's not that we're just super materialistic and we don't want to lose something that's worth, you know, a certain dollar amount, but our home is something to us. It's our little refuge. It's where we live. It's where we have life with other people. There are memories there oftentimes. It's just a representation of what's happening in our life and who we are, maybe even where we've come from. And it's not so much we want to protect it because we don't want to lose our stuff. It's just the sanctity of our home. And we love to see that it has security. We don't want to lose the things that are important to us. And if that's true, for the pictures of my grandma and grandpa hanging on the wall in the hallway, and if it's true for those other things in the house that mean a lot to me, how much more is it true for the spiritual realities, the security of life and of joy that Christ offers us? You know, you can lose all your belongings and rebuild. I mean, we wouldn't want to do that, but we could do it. My in-laws had a flood back in the 1980s in Linda, California, and a flood came through the town. They lost everything in their house except a table that floated. They kept that. Everything else was gone. All their pictures gone. Everything was gone. It wasn't much fun, but you know what? They rebuilt their lives. They got back. That wasn't their life. But to lose your salvation, to lose your fellowship with God, to lose your peace or your joy. Jesus is that door. Jesus is the one who brings protection. If we think of that image, Jesus is the one who lies down across the opening and says, I'm there. I'm in the doorway. I am the door. You're safe. You're safe. I've got you. People can't take away the things from you that really matter anymore. They can't, because I am your security. My presence is your security. A few verses later, down in this chapter around verse 28, Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Nobody can snatch you out of the hand of Jesus. There's security in our faith in Christ. We live with assurance in Jesus Christ because of what He has done for us. Our lives and souls are secure behind the protective presence of that living door, Jesus, our Savior. And more than simply protecting us maybe from enemies on the outside or attacks from the outside and keeping us enclosed and safe, Jesus also provides security for life, for living. Notice He says, you will go in and out and find pasture. The sheep are secure to come in and out, to go out and find sustenance and to find pasture and to find the water that they need and to be sustained and to find strength and then to come in and find safety at night. And if you hear this term, just listen to that term, going in and going out. Go in and go out. It's so amazing how many times that little expression is found in the Bible. Often it ties in with the covenant language of the Old Testament. Back in Numbers, back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God's talking about, and when you go in and when you come out, I'm going to bless you. When you go in and when you go out, I'm going to be with you. And Jesus takes that covenant language from the Old Testament and He applies it to Himself. And He says, when you enter through me, you can come in and you can go out, and I'm going to be there. And what that's kind of shorthand for is you're going to have what you need for life. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you all the spiritual needs that you have. I'm going to be the fulfillment of all those. You can go out. You'll find the pasture. You can come in. You'll find protection. And it's just a way of Jesus promising that He is going to take care of us and bless us with sustenance and strength and protection. And so many of us here know that, don't we? We know it not just because we've read it. We know it because we've experienced it. We've experienced His presence, His care, the way He feeds us, the way He protects us, the way He allows access to all of the blessings and showers us with spiritual blessings so far beyond anything we could ever imagine or deserve. He's faithful in this promise. We've experienced that ourselves. Jesus is the door. So don't waste your time knocking on those doors that don't open up into life, because God has thrown wide open the door of grace that leads to salvation. And that door is Jesus. He's there to be believed in, to be trusted on. And all of these images are so good and so positive. And yet there's another one that we have to mention, because it's there anytime you have a door. And that is that a door becomes a symbol of division. Because you're either inside the door or you're outside the door. If you come up to a door, you're on one side of the door or the other, aren't you? Some people maybe try to stay on the threshold, but you can't really do that. You either pass through the door or you don't. Now, Jesus makes such a claim here in John chapter 10 that as soon as He does, guess what? People are divided. People are divided when He says this. I mean, He has just made a claim that He Himself personally is the entrance to salvation offered by the God of Israel. I'm the one. I'm the door. And in John chapter 10, verse 19, just a couple of verses down from our text, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. And you can understand why. Some people are thinking, who is this? Who does he think he is? Who does this carpenter would-be rabbi think he is to stand here just outside the temple and tell us that He is the doorway to salvation? What kind of crazy talk is this? And people dig in their heels against Jesus and they resist it. And they eventually, some of these people will be the ones who want him nailed to a cross. But others are standing there thinking, well, I don't know. Have you ever heard anybody talk this way? You remember the thing, we've seen his miracles. How can you, and there's a division. There's a division. When Jesus makes this claim, people are divided. Some will go through the door, some won't. It's the same way today, isn't it? Jesus gets the same response. Jesus should always get this response. Jesus, you know, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Like when Jesus comes, lines are drawn. And the line that's drawn is whether or not you believe and put your trust in him and what he's claiming to do and to be on your behalf. In the world, there are some who are ready to believe. There are some who are ready to step through that door. And there are others that we know all too well, unfortunately, that are resistant. They'll find all sorts of reasons to denounce this Jesus and not to come to faith and resist even, have no desire to be believers in Jesus. And yet, we still today, thank God, have that opportunity to hear the words of Jesus and to enter the door, to enter through Christ and find the salvation that we long for. We've got to believe Jesus' claim. Jesus is claiming here to be God and to be the way to life. He's the only way of salvation. We enter that door through faith in him. We are cleansed by his blood, by his washing. When in faith we are united with Christ in our own immersion and then begin to experience life now, true life, salvation, eternal life. There's so many other doors that call out to our attention. Don't be deceived because they fall short. People have been going up to those doors for centuries and never have found what they're truly desiring, that desire that only God can fill. Jesus is the door. He's the only door. He is the way to salvation. And each of us stand before the door. The question is whether we truly will believe. Faith enters. Some waver. Maybe even here today, someone who's listening to these words of Jesus out of John 10, you're wavering. You think, well, yeah, I hear this and it sounds, I'm just not so sure about this. I don't know. This would be a big change in my life. And yes, it would. It's, you talk about a shift in your worldview. You believe Jesus is God in the flesh. That's going to change the way you live. If you're not sure, if you have questions, if you're wondering about this, if you're kind of like on the threshold and not really knowing which way to turn, let us know. Let's talk. Let's sit down and open the Word together. Let us show you Jesus in the Scripture and talk to you about the way we've experienced this salvation in our own lives. Let us know. If you're ready today to enter that salvation by faith in Christ, then come and confess him and be baptized and know that life that he longs to give. Come to him and find what is inside. Because outside is just death and condemnation. You know, it's one thing to get locked outside your house for a couple hours. I survived. Maybe later I'll tell you how I got in. But can you imagine being outside of salvation? Outside of Christ. Outside of hope. Outside of life. Jesus is the door. Hear him in his own words. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And if you're looking for that life, come to Jesus because he's the only one who can give it to us all. Let's stand together as we sing.